We're on a series called God Rules. This is part 7. I invite you to go to gracechristiancenter.us and you'll find 6 other messages in the series. gracechristiancenter.us, or you can go to Facebook at GCC Port Ludlow, find the messages there, or you can go to YouTube to GCC Port Ludlow and find the messages there. And if you're a guest with us this morning, we are absolutely honored and delighted that you're with us, and we're grateful that you're here. And we love you and love the Word of God and invite you to come back any and every time with us to come be with us. And again, those of you online, we're honored that you're with us as well. This is God Rules Part 7. And what I want to talk about this morning is how to approach the King. How to approach the King. You recall we've been dealing with the history and the background of what happened as the Jews went from Jerusalem. They were dealt with by God. They were disciplined. They were punished by God, went into judgment and into captivity. They were taken over by Babylon. Babylon was conquered by Persia. And the people of Judah and the Jews were taken there for 70 years, the discipline would be, as they were overrun by these other countries. The problem was King Cyrus of Persia said, "You can go back to Jerusalem now, Israel. Go back and rebuild your temple." How many remember? Not very many went back. Most of Israel stayed comfortable in Babylon. Most people, even Christians, sadly to say, remain comfortable in captivity. Just a little sin, just a little acknowledgement, just a little lack of passion, just a little, I don't really want to be in the Word. Just a little bit comfortable in captivity, because if the devil can keep you in captivity, keep you bound so you don't express your joy, you don't express your love for the Lord, you don't allow your excitement to rise up or your expectancy of the Lord to rise up, then he can keep you bound in very comfortable captivity. They were comfortable there. Jeremiah prophesied the word of the Lord to them and said, go build your houses and get married and plant your gardens, plant your vineyards, live for the betterment of the people there. But he never intended, God never intended, for the people of God to stay comfortable and stay in captivity. But most did. We pray the Lord's Prayer. We talked about this a bit last week. Our Father, who art in heaven. Come on, say it with me. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm sorry, where is that direction coming? In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, or as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have room yet to grow in your walk with Jesus? You sure? Do you still have, and it's a second question, different question, do you still have desire to grow in your relationship with the Lord? Thirdly, therefore, have you told Jesus that? And are you cooperating with him in your growth? Mark Sharona, a wonderful pastor, man of God, has 3 questions that he asks that I love and have adopted for my own as well. And he asks these questions. Where is Jesus? Where is he going? And am I going with him? Where's Jesus? Where's he going? And am I going with him? Esther was raised by her cousin Mordecai. Some say her uncle, but if he was, nevertheless, it's her cousin. Esther was an orphan in captivity. She was in a situation that wasn't of her making. She was chosen and selected out of a beauty contest where all sorts of young virgins were rounded up to replace Queen Vashti, who had disobeyed her husband to come and parade herself in front of a drunken situation. And it was a difficult situation, but Vashti was replaced, and Esther was raised up to the throne. This was not a choice of Esther's making, but God put Esther right where she belonged at just the right time. You don't read the name of God. You don't read lots of prayers in the book of Esther, but you see the hand of God all the way through as in providence he watches over, guides, and leads. How many know he's still guiding and leading today as you walk with him? Thank God. She's got a much older king now. She wins, she's queen. She hasn't yet revealed that she's a Jew. Mordecai told her not to reveal that she was a Jew. Now Mordecai won't bow to Haman. And Haman is the second in command. The king raises Haman up. Now, Haman in the scriptures is a type of the flesh. And he responds in pride. He's in pride. And he wants everybody to bow to him. And everybody's bowing to him. Except Mordecai. Mordecai, day by day, will not bow to this man. And he becomes furious. And he finds out why Mordecai won't bow. Mordecai says, because I'm a Jew. Because I'm a Jew, I'm not going to bow down to you. And interestingly, it's just like the fixation that happens when we get involved in sin, isn't it? Because the fixation, everybody's bowing down, but he's so fixed on Mordecai not bowing down. There's the one that makes him angry. That's what he wants. That's what's become God in his life. And he decides to go to the king. And he has the king sign off on a plan, not only to destroy Mordecai, but to destroy all of Mordecai's people, to get rid of all the Jews, in one of the most anti-Semitic, Jewish-hating decisions in all of human history, you guys. Haman gets the king's permission to destroy all the Jews in the nation. And the Jews cry out. You can just imagine the confusion, can't you? They're crying out. They're terrified. Mordecai tears his clothing and he fasts and he wails and he comes to the palace and he confronts Esther that it's time for her to stand up for her people. And Esther is basically told these words, "You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And church, I want to say to you right now, please read the last part with me. So have you. Come on, say it with me. So have I. I'm in the kingdom at this time. The Lord knows right where I am, right where I live, who my family is, what cul-de-sac I live on. He knows my address. I'm not hiding from him. He knows where I am, and he's put me right here for such a time as this. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Kev, I'm retired. Well, guess what? You take a look in the Bible, and the greatest retirement program in all of human history, in all of life, is when we die and go to heaven someday. But what about living right now? And living right now says we got a mission. We got a job. We've got someone to share Jesus with. Come on, say amen or oh no. It's an amen. People need the Lord. We're not here by accident. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But Esther, after she hears from Mordecai, tells him, "I'm terrified. I could get killed if I go see the king." And he says, "Look, you could get killed either way, but you've got a chance to stand up for your people." And so she says, "All right, have all the Jews fast for me for 3 days and three nights, and I will go in and see the king. I will do what I must do." So too, the Church of Jesus needs to rise up in this hour. We must do what Jesus has called us to do. But Kevin, I'm afraid of what's going on in Portland, in L.A. I'm afraid of what's going on in Seattle. I'm afraid. We don't need to be afraid. We need to trust the Lord and use wisdom. There are certain places you don't need to drive to at night. Amen? Are you alive? Because you don't drive there at night, right? Yeah. Anyway, we need to rise up in this hour. He tells us, the scripture tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, that he will fill this earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea, and we get to do a part, our part, to cooperate with him to have that happen. Number one, how do we approach the king? How do we approach the king? If you'll go to Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. That's what I'm going to read this morning. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther?" Out of the New American Standard, that phrase is, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther? What's your request?" She wouldn't have come at a time like this, out of sync with what was appropriate to do, unless there was something troubling her. "What's your request?" "It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Now, I want you to hang in and come back and be with us next week and the next couple of weeks as we finish this story. It's one of the most incredible stories in all of the scripture. But the Lord gives her wisdom exactly as she has prayed. But how do you approach the king? And I want to take a look at what she did, but also what applies to us right now. Number one, her heart is prepared. Say that with me. Her heart is prepared. She's been fasting and praying. Now, one of the things fasting does is it quiets our flesh, you guys. There's a partial fast where you do away with certain foods, or there's a total fast where you don't even drink water or eat food for a certain day. Don't do away with drinking of water for more than 3 days. But there's also the normal fast where you don't drink water, you don't eat food, or you might even drink water, but you don't eat food for a certain length of time. People have done 40-day fasts, 21-day fasts, 10-day fasts. It's whatever the Lord has called you to do, but it is a part of our walk with the Lord. If you skip a meal, if you skip a day, if you've never fasted before, take time to set apart when you would normally eat that half hour, that 45 minutes. Take time in the Word. Take time in prayer instead. She had taken time in fasting, and her heart was sensitive to God. Her flesh was quieted, and her heart was sensitive to the Lord. God promises He'll give the words in that hour that we need, and we see it take place exactly with Esther. Luke 12 is that reference. She also comes with humility. With humility. She's coming down. She's not standing up in pride. And in fact, she's terrified inside. Though she's a woman of beauty and grace and anointing, she is terrified. She has not any clue whether the king is going to kill her or not. And the king had every right to kill anybody in their hour if somebody walked in uninvited to that court as an unwelcome, uninvited guest. The king could have them removed and killed. And she didn't know if that would happen to her. After all, look what he did to Vashti. He removed her from being queen. He could do the same thing to Esther. But she's going in faith and in humility. She goes in dependence on God. The Lord tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, that if we will humble ourselves, He will exalt us in due time. Number three, she goes with community behind her. How many are glad that you're part of the family of God? Man, thank God there's a community behind us. Turn around, look at each other, and just get a look at somebody else's face with a mask this morning. Now, normally with these masks, we'd think you were holding us up, but not right now in this day and age. But we thank God that you're part of the family of God, and we stand together. You got a problem, I got a problem. I got a problem, you got a problem. I got a rejoicing, you got a rejoicing. You've got something to rejoice about, so do I, because we're family. And Esther had everybody focused on prayer together. They were serious about this. When God's people pray, church, God listens. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 15. You can read it on your own out of the New King James. It's the one I normally read to you. And right now, I want you to listen to it out of the Message. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 13 through 15. If I ever, God speaking, shut off the supply of rain from the skies, or order the locusts to eat the crops, or send a what? A plague on my people. How many know there's an astronomical supply of locusts ruining nations right now? It is sweeping across nations right now. Some of the worst locust outbreak they've ever seen, going all the way back in history. well, God, why did you allow this? At the very least, to bring us to our knees and surrender to you. Amen or oh no? God's trying to snap us back to right relationship with him. To send a plague on my people and my people, my God-defined people, respond. If you respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. From now on, I'm alert day and night to the prayers offered at this place. So God listens when God's people pray. I thank God I have the opportunity to meet with you, the folks online. Come and gather with us. And some are not yet able to come back and be with us. And I don't know of anybody that's just staying home because they'd rather be in their pajamas and slippers. If that included anybody, I'd be right there with them, right? My cup of coffee, sitting there. No, we come because we're committed to Jesus and to one another. September 26th. I want you to look it up, thereturn.org. If you have not yet been to this site, hundreds of thousands of believers are gathering on the Washington, D.C. Mall on September 26, not very long from now, in order to pray, to fast, to seek God's face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to ask Him to heal our land. And we believe, according to the Scripture, the Lord says He will what? Hear His people. He will heal our land. We can believe Him. Thousands gathering. We will be gathering right here in this facility unless we have to make a change. They don't give us permission, but every time we've asked, the owners of the facility have given us permission. On that day, September 26th, we'll be live streaming that event from Washington, D.C. TheReturn.org. All right, so she came in humility and community, and she came after having fasted. She comes with her royal robes. She approaches the king with her royal robes. She's queen. Now she's no longer just an orphan slave girl. She has position. She has place. But this king has a proclivity to violent outbursts and violent passion, anger, and fury, and Vashti was replaced, and Esther could be killed, and in fact, there is a story, and I'm going to just tell it to you, that there are some who will say that what happened when she approached here, she was trembling, she was afraid, and the king was absolutely furious that she came before him without a veil. So furious that she fainted. He leapt from his throne, went down and held her in his arms until she came to, held out his scepter, and welcomed with gracious open arms. But it began with a fury for being interrupted. We don't know if that's true. But what is true is Vashti comes, or Esther comes, with her royal robes on. She prepared herself to come before the king. She's already been accepted based on her beauty, but now she's got the beauty of her robes. By the way, church, what I'm really saying to you is, how do we approach Jesus? We approach Him through the blood of Jesus, He said. We come through His blood. We come because He's put on us the righteous robes, robes of righteousness, robes of being cleansed by His blood. You don't approach Him based on your own works. You didn't earn your way to be acceptable to God, but He washed you by the blood He shed for you at Calvary. And thank God we're here by His grace. Someone ought to get excited. Come on, I said somebody ought to be excited about that. Nobody in this room, nobody, I don't care who you are, is perfect. Somebody in this room probably sinned in attitude or action in the last week. Maybe okay if not in the last week, somewhere in the last year. Right? Have I got the right crowd? Who takes care of sin? The only way to get sin removed is to come to Jesus through His blood, ask Him to wash us clean as we repent. And thank God He made provision. We get to come and He places on us, takes off the wicked, filthy rags, and He puts on the royal robes of righteousness. So we get dressed to come before Him. When we approach Him on Sunday morning together, we come through His blood and by His grace. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Isn't that good news? And then she comes with her standing with the king, with right placement. She stands right in the entry, right where the king is conducting business. He's across the room from her with all of his fancy attendants, and he's conducting business, and she comes either coming behind a pillar or entering in through a portico, and she is seen, and she stands there in the grace and in the beauty of her robes, and he looks up and sees her. She puts herself in the right place. I don't just go fishing on Sunday morning. I come to worship Him with God's people. I don't just go do my own thing all week long. I walk with Him and we pray and we are in the Word, Sherry and I, together, and we seek Him and we're praying for you. And we ask God to lead you, guide you, strengthen you. And we try to put ourselves in a position where we can hear His voice and we can be entwined with the Lord and then come bring the bread of life to you on Sunday morning. And that's how we all come, right? We come having met with Him, having prayed, having sought Him and gotten right with Him by His grace in right standing. You stand in the right place by the blood of Jesus. You're His son, His daughter by faith. Anybody excited about that? Yeah. Have I got the wrong crowd this morning? I'm so excited about that, man. I'm so thankful to be related to Him. He's my dad. He's my Lord. He's my gracious Heavenly Father. And how can we come today? Man, it's completely the opposite of what she had to do. That's Old Testament. That's an Old Testament king. She had to stand in the right place in order to be acceptable and not get killed. But how do we come? We get to come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. That's our New Testament approach through Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We get to come to you. I come as your son. We come as your daughter and your kids. And we thank you, giving you praise. And oh God, we know you hear the requests we bring to you. What a privileged relationship and place we have. How do we approach the king? Through the blood of Jesus and in a great relationship that He's given us. Watch it out of the Message. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He's so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Come on, say that with me. Take the mercy and accept the help. You know, oh, come on. The Lord doesn't hear me. I feel far away. He says, come on, kids. Take the mercy. Accept the help. What are you going to do? You're going to jump back up on the cross and try to do what you can't do? He's the only one who could do it. And He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Father God looked and He said, and Jesus said on the cross, and Father God agreed, and all of heaven thundered. It is finished! It's done, it's paid in full. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Receiving favor with the king. The king then holds out his golden scepter. He touches it. Now, our problem is we think of Queen Elizabeth and this diamond-encrusted thing, this powerful thing. If you look on, you can actually find, and I almost brought it here this morning, a picture that was done in stone of King Darius, the father of this king now. But he's sitting on the throne, has this long, slender scepter with a knob on top. And that's what it looked like for them. And the authority is expressed through what he does with this scepter. He carried it with him most all the time. And if he extended the scepter to you, you had favor. And if he didn't, you were a dead person. And the devil is extending the scepter toward you and me all the time. Toward you. Toward your children, toward our country, toward the people that are important to you. The devil is out to destroy. He has nothing good in mind for you. But Jesus. I said, but Jesus. Jesus comes along, totally defeats the enemy. He takes the scepter out of the enemy's hand. He's got it in his hand. And now he's holding it out to you and me all the time. And he says, you got an open door 24/7. Come on in. The scepter's held to you by God. So we get to come in to His presence by His grace. Pastor Sherry opened this morning with these verses from Psalm 96, verse 5 and 6. Other gods are absolutely worthless. For the Lord God is Creator God, who spread the splendor of the skies. Breathtaking brilliance, awe-inspiring majesty radiate from His shining presence. His stunning beauty overwhelms all who come before Him. And you and I, we don't have to shrink from Him at all. We come in humility by His grace and through His blood. Esther had the scepter held out to her. At the same time, that king is saying, you're welcome, I love you, you're come on in, you're invited in. His second in charge, Haman, who represented the devil and the flesh, has extended his scepter to kill all the Jews, including Mordecai and including Esther. But the king doesn't know that yet. The king has extended his scepter. Which scepter do you think will win? God's scepter wins for you and me. If you're ashamed, if you're condemned, if you feel far from God, if you've sinned, ask His forgiveness, receive His mercy, and His scepter is out to you, saying, come on in. Come on in, son and daughter. Jesus, the scepter of authority, is pointing at you. Hebrews 1:8, but to the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. He took your place and He took mine. This morning, I just want to ask you, how are you approaching the King? We approach Him by grace through faith. Esther approached Him through wisdom and grace. And man, over the next couple of weeks, this is an incredible story. I hope you come back, because we're going to hear and see the wisdom of God unfold as she receives the wisdom of God, and she accepts the mercy of God, and He intervenes for her, and one of the most remarkable stories and outcomes that we've ever seen in human history. And He's still the same God working for you and for me today. He's still the same God on the throne working for you and me today. I said He's still the same God on the throne working for you and me today. Take the mercy. Accept the help. And then, like Esther, we can make our requests known to God with thanksgiving. Watch this, Philippians 4:6. I've got it in three translations out of the New King James. Be anxious for nothing. A lot of things can make us anxious right now. I've got a number of things in my life, number of issues, a number of concerns for family members that can make me anxious. And I have to remember this myself. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Out of the Message, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And then out of the Passion, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Come on, I said, tell Him every detail of your life. Tell Him every detail of your life. Oh, that's too small for God. Nothing's too small for God. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message, this is the Passion, but who wrote the Message, is a Spirit-filled man, Greek and Hebrew scholar, who sought to give us something in a fresh language that would make us inspired to read the Word again. Same kind of background for the Passion, to inspire us to see the heart of God's passion toward His people. So when you see these words on most every occasion, as I've sought them and searched them, I see them with accurate renderings to the Greek and Hebrew. Now, I'm not a Greek and Hebrew scholar, but I've done a lot of studying in 50 years, and I know how to look things up. And I've seen them being so many times so preciously accurate. So when you see a verse like this, let it live in your heart. Don't hang back. Tell Him every detail of your life, and come with thanksgiving. Her prayers were incredible. And she fasted, and then she went to action. And God enlightened her with wisdom to know what to do. And she was wise as she approached the king. This morning, church, you and I get to come through the blood of Jesus and approach the king, and his scepter is handed out and extended to you and me. Thank God. Someone say amen. Stand with me, would you please, musicians, would you come? Maybe you can say with me this morning as you stand, Lord, I want that kind of closer relationship with you where I take the mercy, accept the help and take the mercy. I want to come more into your presence every single day and continue to have you form me and shape me, a cross-shaped life where I know your presence and walk with you more preciously according to your word. I want to be so close. Lord, open my eyes to see the way you see, my ears to hear the way you hear and hear what you're saying. And Lord, let me be so close that my heart beats entwined with yours so I can take the mercy, accept the help, and thank you, Lord, that your scepter's held out to me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace this morning. Thank you for what you're saying. If you need the Lord to continue to give you that more of an intimate relationship and receive his grace, just raise your hands to the Lord. Father, thank you for doing what only you can do. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. We come to you now and are so grateful that your scepter, the scepter of your authority, Jesus, you held your arms out to us and you said, come on in. Because you're forgiven. We give you our thanks, we give you our praise, and we worship you in Jesus' name. And they all said amen. That his hands are extended to you still, that you leave knowing his presence is upon you, knowing that you're welcomed into the presence of a loving Father who loves and cares so much, and Jesus who has extended his arms around you. We don't have to worry about a God who's ready to strike us down. But he's a God who's defended us, helped us, delivered us, and loves us. Thank God for his cleansing blood. Raise your hands and then we'll sing the song again. For the blessing, please receive it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. In 2 Corinthians, it says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Remember, we have Zoom prayer at noon on Fridays. If you'd like to be included in that and you haven't been so far, just get us your email and we'll send a link to you for that. All right, God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the joy and presence of Jesus. Be released.